We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. John and Hugh on this Tuesday morning. Weather has shoved us back to our friendly confines, the Kia Studios. In Colony Square, and
we getting soft. But then it ain't really us; it's that equipment. You know, we worried about that equipment. You know, you get that equipment wet, it's gonna be a problem. It's gonna be a big old problem.
Yeah, a lot of electronics out there, as you would imagine. So, we are. You know, we had hoped to be out there today to be on set with head coach Quinn, and we'll talk to him in just a moment here when he via the old fashioned telephone and get kind of a thought here. It is
a hard line.
Day two of, and we're counting down 9 days until their first game against the Denver Broncos, so things are going to come fast for the Atlanta Falcons and getting ready. 5 games in the preseason, which, you know, Hugh, that's an awful lot of games. I mean, you know, you play 5 preseason games. What it'll do more than anything else, it will give the team a really good look. If they only have, 6 or 7 spots available on the 53-man for your practice squad and for those situations, you're going to get a good long look at a number of guys.
I don't look at it as a lot of games, John. Think about it like this. You're talking about the rookies get a longer look. They're going to get a better chance of making this squad or getting film out there so that they can probably catch on with another team because they're going to play four. They're going to probably get the majority of the snaps in 4 preseason games.
Mm-hmm.
The starters, on the other hand, are probably going to get the majority in 1. So – when you really think about it, I mean, it's not a lot. It's a lot for the fans if you're trying to go to all 5 games. But for the players, not really. Because Matt's going to probably – you could probably give them, I would say, between the first game and the second two, maybe a 4 quarter, if that, that they're going to play out of this whole preseason. Because, you know, not even 4, about 3 quarters. Because you're talking about you're only going to play a preseason game. You're going to probably play 3 snaps in the first one, probably 6 in the second one, and none in the fourth one. I mean, technically in the 5th one. So it's going to be on these young guys. It just gives these young guys a chance to show coach what they could do and have more film to evaluate them. That's it. That's how I look at it, man, because when you think about everything that they do now and the way that the CBA goes, that for the young players, it gives them more opportunities to go out there and say, hey, look at me. I'm doing this or I can do that, as opposed to being out there and you know, with the starters getting the majority of the reps, they don't get that many. So this gives them an opportunity to go out there and show what they could do. Gives them more chances to go out there and show what they could do.
5 preseason games. It begins a week from Thursday against Denver and Canton, and then they're on the road.
That was math, too, by the way.
Yeah, right.
A little bit of math. I just wanted to pat myself on the back there, Oren. I did a little bit of math. Thank you. Thank you very much. I just wanted to, you know, point that out.
And then they're on the road at Miami. The 2 home games will be every game is on Thursday in the preseason. There are 2 home games, Thursday, August 15th against the Jets. And then the big preseason game is going to be at Mercedes-Benz when they take on the Washington Redskins. That's that dress rehearsal game on Thursday, August 22nd. And then they'll finish with that game that nobody cares about ever. Thankfully, this year it'll be on the road at Jacksonville. In the game where it's just a throwaway game on the 29th of August, where they, you know, no start, you know, you don't even dress anybody because you don't want anybody getting hurt in a meaningless game. So all that ahead of the opener, which will be on the road, one of the big conversations yesterday was about the schedule and the fact that the Falcons schedule from the jump, I mean, the first 5 games are really hard. I mean, this is going to be a test from the jump of this season. When you go on the road for 3 of the first 5, you're at Minnesota, you come home to play Philadelphia, you're at Indianapolis, you come home to play Tennessee, and you're at Houston. That's 5 hard games, 3 of which are on the road.
Oh, yeah, no question about that, man. We were trying to look through the schedule because we haven't done this, and you're breaking down the wins and losses. We haven't broke down the wins and losses of the season for the Falcons. And, bruh, I was looking at the schedule, and I was just looking at the first 4. And I was trying to figure out what the record was going to be out of the first four. Because Minnesota going up there playing there with everything that they have on the line and Kirk Cousins coming out and he has to play well, that's going to be a tough game. Then you come back on Sunday night and you play the Philadelphia Eagles. Everybody's talking about Indianapolis Colts and how good they are. I don't know about all that. You know, I just don't.
Well, they got a good offensive line, that's for sure, and they got a good quarterback, and they got a great wide receiver. And
good quarterback that played well last year, but mm-hmm. by outside of that, has been hurt a lot. Andrew Luck has been hurt quite a bit in his career. And he, when you think about it, because of the injuries, has not lived up to what he was billed as being the, you know, the heir apparent to Peyton Manning. And I know that he has talent, no question about that. But part of that being part of being a talented quarterback is being able to be healthy and to stay healthy. He hasn't been able to do that. So, you know, that there's that. And then you got Tennessee Titans. Dude, Taylor Lewan is a beast.
Mm-hmm.
He's a beast. He's a heck of a player. So that's a tough matchup, them first four games. That's tough.
Our continuing coverage of 2019 AT&T Falcons training camp. Right now we are joined by the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Dan Quinn, who joins John.
The man, the myth, Coach Quinn. Good morning, Coach Quinn. What's going on?
I would say, Hugh Douglas, you're a beast. Don't be worried about
hey, Coach.
Saying? Like, since when are you going to back down from an offensive tackle? Come on, man.
No, I'm just saying, Coach, like, it's something like you have a couple on the squad, too. You got a couple guys that got some McGarry, those young cats, they like got some dog in them.
That's right. You know the other side. When you was playing, man, they had to deal with you.
Yeah. But I tell you what, the worst feeling in the world as a defender is when you have some guys on the other side of the ball, Coach, that's going to give it to you like you dishing it out. Now, that's a nice little battle right there.
Yeah, you can definitely tell when, and you know this firsthand, when you break somebody's will.
Hey, there you go.
And it don't happen in the first quarter.
Yeah, this
now,
is true.
You might have some doubt in your mind, like, yo, okay, it's this kind of day. But, yeah, what an awesome time to get started. We do have some guys, and we just added another one who's got real toughness and attitude about how he likes to play in a style. And, you know, hopefully today do his physical and his paperwork is Alan Bailey to come out this way and contribute as well.
Coach, I got to say, now, every year that you've been here, you've always been full of energy and you've been hyped. But, Coach, you're different this year. I mean, to tell you, I can feel it. I can feel the energy coming off of you. What is so different about this year as opposed to every other year since you've been here?
I would say, Hugh, have you been on the teams where you have like a feeling about guys and a feeling about the moments and a feeling about what you can because of the team? Those are the things that kind of light me up. I'm constantly thinking about the roles for the guys and the way to feature them and the things we can do and the boldness that we want to play with. So having that kind of mindset and attitude to go for it at the biggest way when you're part of one of those teams and you know what those years feel like, you kind of have a more woke sense about you. So, yeah, I'm definitely ready to go. I like this group. They're connected. And like, you know, half the teams are. Now it'll come down to how well can we execute? How well can we feature the guys in the roles in their very best ways.
Coach, that's the second time you used that word woke. You're giving me goosebumps over here. Slow down, Coach. You got me feeling like I could play out of this piece.
At least two plays.
I don't even know if I can give you that one, Coach. Yeah. It's been a long time.
Falcons head coach Dan Quinn joining John and Hugh as we talk about the second day of camp. Coach, it's not like you can walk into camp on the first day yesterday and say, okay, guys, we're just going to walk through a few things and sort of get ready and work our way up. You had to look at the guys and go, oh, by the way, guys, first day of camp, and we have a game next week.
Yep. Yeah, so I think it's not a time at training camp to dip the toe in the water. Oftentimes in OTAs, you're really so much focused on the skill set of the player because you got this window, whether it's lifting and conditioning or something to work on for their skill set. And then it changes, John, a little bit as you get into training camp because now all the unique things that you can bring to the team, that you need to have. But now it is all about the team. And so the roles, the features, the way you can go into that. It's their second time through the installations of offense and defense and special teams, so that's good. But now it is time to find the unique roles for the players. We're glad that we get an extra opportunity, especially for the youngest players who haven't played or, inexperienced players, to get another chance to play. That's valuable, man. That's where you learn the most in the games. We try to create a good practice, but there's nothing like playing.
Now, being back in that defensive room, Coach, I know that has to be a different feel for you. What is that like now as opposed to being the head coach and having to oversee everything? I know you're still overseeing everything, but now you're in that defensive room. How different is that?
Well, I'm fortunate to have a number of guys that really helped me stay connected to that. You know, we added Bob Sutton in the spring, and Jeff Olbrich and Jerome Henderson also do a great job. But what I always want to get across is the style and attitude that we want to play with. And what I hit on the first night was the powerful, you know, effects of great communication on defense. Some of the best defenses we see, or and you guys watch as well, when you have all these guys talking about the calls, barking out the calls, the alerts, it's basically about playing team defense in every single way. Even like when you're playing man-to-man, there's aspects of playing man-to-man that's individual skills. Yeah, mm-hmm. We get that. But there's also, man, I got your back. Watch for this call. I got your back. Watch for this technique. And when those things start happening, people start calling it out, that's a powerful thing. And nobody can be as tough alone. So when you get this communication ramped up, when you get the connection ramped up, that to me, Hugh, is when the great defense takes off. Not just good defensive players, but great team defense.
Coach, another thing that I saw yesterday was in certain drills, I saw the defensive end standing up a little bit more. Is that by design? Is that for they can see like what's coming a little bit better?
Yeah, and there's certainly some times now that being up on our feet, you know, basically like as a 34 outside backer, there's mm-hmm. some times when there's an advantage to that, to edge set and to be outside, and there's advantages to say, okay, now I only have to deal with a certain type of play on this one, you know, called like a third down and long where you'll see the guys down. But, yeah, that was definitely one of the things we explored through the off season to say some of these guys who naturally played on their feet before, you know, let's look at that. And we're going through the training camp and evaluating some of that as well.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, Coach, because one of the guys that jumped out to me immediately when I saw that was Tack McKinley and the way that he's using his hands and trying to set the edge. And that was one of the little nuances that I saw in the defense. And I was just wondering, you know, basically was that something that you put in there? That looks pretty good so far.
Yeah, so far in the spring, it's been good. And he was definitely, I would say, like on the defense of the players that probably made the biggest jump. You know, he was into that conversation for sure through the offseason to go. He's lighter, he's faster, he's fitter to go all out, and he's got that type of motor to do that. So we put him on his feet. He likes, you know, seeing, you know, a tight end coming from across the formation, or, you know, we're going to play some mobile quarterbacks who have zone read potential. So being on your feet, being able to do that, there's some advantages. So we wanted to make sure we had good versatility that we could do that when we needed to.
Another guy that's stuck, sorry about that, John, I had to jump in, you know, talking to Coach, talking football, getting hyped up in this thing. But another guy that I saw yesterday in a glimpse, Devontae Freeman, Coach, like he's been on that squat rack quite a bit in this offseason.
Yeah, Free has been steady in the weight room. And I think being away, he realized how strong he wanted to get. And he has really put the focus into that space because, you know, you'd come back through an OTA practice and I'd go back through the weight room on my way back in, and post-practice he was getting it in. So there was these moments I'd come in the evening he was in. So you could tell he's putting the work in to get ready. I do think he's stronger than he's ever been, you know, because of the work that he's put in inside the weight room.
Yeah, we're talking with head coach Dan Quinn. You're talking about just great to see Free back out there and to see Keanu Neal and Rico Allen and some of the guys back in and getting your team back. What are the other things? Yeah, one of the other things that people were talking about yesterday, some of your players were talking about defensively, was how much they really have are kind of glomming onto the idea and really smiling a lot by the idea of playing for you directly as the defensive coordinator. Largely, Coach, what is a Dan Quinn defense going to look like? Is there an overall philosophy that you want to attain?
Well, for sure, it comes down to the ball first, John. It's the ball and scoring defense. I would say from a fan standpoint, you know, putting the fear of God into another offense. That's, you know, if you're talking about from a philosophy standpoint, can you do that? Where does that come from? Toughness, the physicality, the speed, relentlessness, like where you're always on the attack. And the reason I emphasize communication so strongly on the first day is in order for us to be the type of team we have to be, even when it's unnatural for players who are more quiet to talk, we're going to force it because those are the small tips, the small alerts that allow you to play team defense as well as we can. So it is a fun group to be a part of. They're hungry. This is a really cool group of guys. You'd love to play with this defense because of their, you know, connection to one another. But we're going to push it like crazy, John, to play relentless and make sure every single time we go, you know, that we're going to bring it.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, you got some guys that you're really counting on this year. You know, boy, good to have those guys back. And we talk about the loss and the injuries last year to this defense, Coach Quinn. But, you know, when it talks about Rico Allen's, you know, impact on this defense, sometimes Hugh and I talk about this a lot, is lost on some of the fans who don't understand just how critical he is to this defense and how he relays everything. He becomes your quarterback, right?
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is an extension of me. And he's one of the people that are the best at communicating. And so he worked so hard, not just on his body to come back from his injury, but if I could tell you the amount of time he's put in the off season mentally from the neck up to improve as a player. He had asked, can I sit in the quarterback meeting, you know, when we're doing this? Yes, can I do this? Can you have this breakdown for me? So he challenged himself to take his preparation to a new space. And like any player, any competitor, the more prepared you are, it just breeds confidence. And so not only did he get himself right physically, which is your main goal when you're injured, he also used the time to say, I'm going to get stronger from the neck up in the game and find more ways that I can be bolder to make more plays. And that, to me, sums up who he is. All the unrequired work that he puts in makes him a rare competitor, and that's why he's such a kind of a multiplier for our team.
I guess it's really starting to sink in here that you got a game next week.
Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome.
It is, Coach. And by the way, when you asked me earlier, the last time that I felt, you know, like you had a special team, last time I felt like that, Coach, no pressure, but we went to the Super Bowl. I remember it was yesterday, like coming in and being a part of that squad. We went to the Super Bowl.
There's the best teams, you know, are led from the locker room. And so on that team, there were some really terrific leaders that the fans would remember well. Some of them were O-linemen and D-linemen, a guy like Jonathan Babineau or Tyson Jackson or Chris Chester or Andy Levitre. And then when we added men like Alex Mack into the group, you could feel this sense of leading from inside take place, where they were willing to, you know, be accountable to one another, and that was the norm. And so we wanted to make sure every chance we get, the players are reconnecting to that. And all the players who are now saw that as an example, they are now in the leadership molds of Grady's and Deion's and Kiki's. And so they're ready to take that. And so I guess that's a big piece, John, of why I am so excited. It's because of the guys inside the locker room. I've always known, and the fans do too, Matt, Julio, they execute, they play at the level. And then when you have the guys who can add to that and Freeze and other players who take on big roles, like that's a really cool thing. And to see Jake Matthews now come into the role of a leader where that was handed down from Chester or Levitre. So those are the moments, those are the guys, and that's why the best teams you've probably been a part of too, it started down in the locker room first.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Coach. Do appreciate. We look forward to next week of the first game and the continuation of AT&T Falcons training camp. Thanks,
Have
Coach.
A good one, Coach.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you.
Hey, Coach Dan Quinn joining us this morning as we continue our coverage. Again, yeah, there's a game next week. Now, how cool is that? I am ready for some football. And, boy, did it whet our appetites yesterday to be out there at Flowery Branch. We'll be back out there tomorrow, just the weather keeping us away today. When we get back, we'll digest a little bit of what Coach Quinn said, and we'll talk about some of the other headlines in the NFL, including a lot of people questioning the NFL suspension policy about what happened yesterday and what happened a couple of days ago and why the NFL seems to be picking and choosing its suspensions. It's leaving everybody scratching their head. That's ahead on this edition of The Morning Show on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com after a CBS Sports Minute.
Time to get started. We do have some guys, and we just added another one who's got real toughness and attitude about how he likes to play in a style. And, you know, hopefully today do his physical and his paperwork is Alan Bailey to come out this way and contribute as well.
Alan Bailey, a veteran defensive end, has spent 8 years with the Kansas City Chiefs, 6'3", 290 pounds, and 20 sacks in his time in Kansas City in his 8 years, former Miami Hurricane. Signed to a 2-year deal by the Atlanta Falcons yesterday after the injury to Michael Bennett. And for those of you who don't follow the Falcons.
That other Michael Bennett.
The other Michael
Not
Bennett.
Not that Michael Bennett.
Yeah. And because of Bennett's injury and because of an earlier injury to Steven Means, the Falcons are looking for a little bit of veteran help along the defensive line. Signed Alan Bailey, who had been talking to a number of teams in this offseason, including the New England Patriots and Seattle Seahawks. And the Falcons snag him as a rotational defensive end And he will be counted on to give you some big minutes, Hugh, and he should be reporting to the team rather quickly because you got to get going.
Yeah, that's not a bad payday, you know, for a guy that just was sitting at home chilling, you know, getting $10 million and had a lot of teams in play for him. But like he was trying to avoid training camp a little bit. That's not going to happen. So he's going to get ready to come into training camp and get ready to go.
You know, one of the things that Oren Romain, the technical director, was saying to me in the break is, you know, Dan Quinn, and you kind of alluded to it, Hugh, in our interview with Coach. You know, what you could tell from Coach and his excitement level, and maybe it's just the start of the season, but boy, he exudes a lot of what we heard yesterday in Campbell. What we kind of heard a little bit in the off season is there's kind of a positive vibe, for lack of a better term, on this team.
You know, it's funny. You don't want to try to measure it against the last few years that he's been here, but I mean, you kind of have to. He's always been excited. I want to say that first. He's always been excited and enthusiastic about his job and being the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. But yet, this year, it just feels different. And he alluded to that. And that's when I shared with him how it felt for me to go back to the Philadelphia Eagles the year that we went to the Super Bowl. I never forget, I had a friend of mine because I was like, that was my last contract. I knew that for me that the road was over. And I was just trying to get one more money grab. And there was a few teams that were on the phone trying to get me to come there after I got cut from Jacksonville right before training camp. Well, no, during training camp, right before the last preseason game. And I remember a friend of mine, Bernard Johnson, said, dude, if you don't take your butt back to Philadelphia, that's where you need to be. He's like, that's home for you. He said, and they're probably going to go to the Super Bowl. I'll never forget him saying that. He was like, they're probably going to go to the Super Bowl. And you need to go back to Philadelphia. And I thought about it for a minute because I had a couple teams calling because they wanted me to go. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go back to Philly. And the money was nowhere near what other teams had offered, but I had already did that. So I said, I'm going to go back to Philly, man. And when I got there, you know, Jeremiah Trotter had came back. They had got T.O. And, dude, from the beginning of that season and the way that it started, it just felt like this was going to be a special year. It just felt like that. And it was. So I know wholeheartedly what Coach Quinn is coming from. It's just like when you get into camp and you get around the guys, it just feels different. This could potentially be a special year for the Falcons. No question about that.
Talking about the Falcons and Dan Quinn and the interview that we just did with the head coach as they get ready for day two of practice in Flowery Branch. Again, we're back at our – because of the rain and the potential impact on all of our electronics out there at camp, we are – back here doing our show today, but we'll be back out of camp tomorrow as we continue our coverage of the AT&T Atlanta Falcons training camp, just a little over a week away, getting ready for the Denver Broncos game a week from Thursday next week at the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. The Falcons making the one change, Alan Bailey coming in to join the team, and again, what we saw at practice yesterday, there's some people who think, Hugh, that there will be a number of battles. One of them that I thought was kind of interesting, I just want to touch on for a moment, is there are a lot of people thinking there's a battle for backup quarterback. And I was like, why?
With who?
That's what I said. You know.
Oh, you mean for backup? Yeah, for backup, the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Between
Schaub and Kurt Benkert.
Yeah. Schaub makes a lot of money. And eventually you're going to have to – maybe groom a young quarterback. I don't put it like this, people. I don't think that Matt Ryan's heir apparent is on this team yet. But if you could get away with having Benkert back there and probably saving a little bit of money, you'll probably do that. Because you're talking about Schaub making $5 million a year. It ain't took a snap in years. That's a lot of money to pay a quarterback.
All right, a couple of NFL notes. I know that we focus a lot on the Falcons, but there's a big kind of debate going on this morning in regards to the NFL's and Roger Goodell's policy surrounding suspensions. Jaron Reed of the Seahawks has been suspended for 6 games for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. All right, 6-game suspension for a key guy on the Seahawks defense. Now, should know that there was an incident with Jaron Reed, they got him suspended, but Jaron Reed wasn't arrested, he wasn't charged, he wasn't convicted. Now, let's set that against Tyreek Hill, where there was an incident where he wasn't arrested, wasn't charged, wasn't convicted, and Tyreek Hill got exactly 0. And people, you know, Ezekiel Elliott last year, 6 games. People around the league are wondering, Hugh, what's going on with the NFL and...
Say again, John.
I mean, Jaron Reed got suspended for 6 games.
Wasn't it for the like the substance abuse policy?
Personal conduct policy.
Personal conduct. Well, that to me screams that they have the info, they're just not releasing it yet, and it's probably going to come out. That's what that kind of screams.
Right, but I mean, just broadly, people are wondering, and I think it has more to do with the fact that the NFL, because there's been a lot of backlash to Tyreek Hill's non-suspension. A lot, Hugh. And
for what?
Well, because, you know, his kid had a broken arm. I'm just telling you here.
Okay, John.
All right, so his kid had a broken arm. Then there was the tape where he threatened the baby's mother. And he's got a history, obviously, when he got, beat up his pregnant girlfriend at Oklahoma State, got kicked off the team. Not that that was an NFL issue, but I'm just saying that a lot of people thought that there was more reason to believe than not.
Okay, so because it, like the word used, because since he has a history, that means that even if he didn't do it, he should be guilty because it's stuff he's done in the past. Because that's kind of what I'm hearing when you say it like that.
No, I'm just saying that I'm giving you what the kind of the is a belief.
I understand
out
what
here.
You're saying. I hear what you're saying, but that's what it sounds like to me that people are upset about is because he had a history, so he must have did it. That's almost just like saying just because a person is an alcoholic and they went to AA. If there was a car accident and he happened to be there, he did it because he was an alcoholic. That's kind of the same thing. I mean, everybody, I look at it like this. They did their investigation. I think the Kansas City Police Department, they did their investigation.
Yeah, the DA, yeah.
And they didn't find any wrongdoing. So now we're going to convict this man in the court of public opinion because of stuff that he's done in the past? Like, because, you had a history of doing it before, so you had to have done it. The kid's arm was broken. They did an investigation. That's not good enough. You had to have done it. Because you've done stuff like this in the past. That's kind of what I'm hearing when you say it like that.
Well, I'm just saying that and it seems to be, most people think that there is an inconsistency within the policy, the way it's being directed, and I'm just reporting what the facts are, at least.
No, I'm just saying that's the court of public opinion.
Right.
I mean, at somewhere along the line, we put it in the judicial system's hands, but when it's not the outcome that we want, we want to take it out and make our own, formulate our own opinion. Yeah, that's all right. I'm saying.
Rundown says Hughes World.
Yes. Well, I talk about next in Hughes World, where we ought to be thankful for the situation that we're in right now. We ought to be thankful. And did anybody get caught in that little martyr thing yesterday? We'll talk about that a little bit, too. On the other side of Hughes World, coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Real quick, I want to clarify that I understood exactly what you were trying to say, John Fricke, about the NFL and its inconsistency for jumping on or the way that they dole out punishment. I totally get that.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, I've heard some of these same arguments about people and the fact that Tyreek Hill didn't get in trouble. And that's what I was more focused on. And I know that was not your intention, but it just kind of bothers me that he is still, like they did an investigation, and he is still catching heat from that, even though they did their due diligence. And that was not nothing directly like directed towards you. But I was thinking, it's funny because, at the start of the NFL season, we always get these stories and, the first couple of days, especially with Denver and the Atlanta Falcons being in camp already, it's not a whole lot to talk about, but this story dropped yesterday. As a matter of fact, the magazine dropped yesterday. Well, it didn't drop, but some articles came out about the GQ magazine and Odell Beckham Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get into that a little bit later on the show, but basically – it was just talking about some personal things and some things that he said that had people talking. And I was riding in this morning, and it got me to thinking. Number one, it got me to thinking about Odell Beckham Jr. and how different he is and how different kids are nowadays. Because for one thing that he said in the article was something to the effect that he kept the New York Giants relevant. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the Giants won like, 5 games last season?
Yeah, it was something like that. 5-11, right?
But he said that he kept them relevant. And it dawned on me like, wow, what is he talking about as far as relevance? Does he actually mean, having them in the paper, saying stupid stuff or doing stupid things? Because as far as the standings were concerned, that's not being relevant. 5-11 is not being relevant. Now, on your social media account and things like that, that's being irrelevant. But like I said, we're going to get into that later on. But the thing that got me to thinking was this. We got it good here in Atlanta. Like, really, really good. Think about that for a minute. We have a Hall of Fame receiver in Julio Jones. And when you think about some of the things that Julio has done over his tenure here in Atlanta, I'm gonna even shorten it up a little bit. Since I've been here, the worst thing that Julio Jones has done, and I'm putting this in order, was lose an earring at Lake Lanier for riding on a wet bike going fast.
Hey, what was it, like a $50,000 earring?
Something to that, John. And then on top of that, like if you want to, and even if you could put them in any order you want to put them in, the second or first worst thing, however you want to say it, was that he asked for some more money.
And sat out a day.
And sat out one whole day of the season. That nobody even missed him. He then came back and led the NFL in reception. And I was thinking, I'm like, damn. Him and Matt Ryan. You're like, people, like, sit back and just think about this for a while. You enjoy them while you have them. Because one day they're both going to be gone. Rich McKay said something yesterday, John, we were talking to him on the set, that got me to thinking too. That's true. He said when he mentioned the fact that the play of quarterbacks drops off tremendously from that first player to that second player. And when you talk about Matt Schaub and him being the backup quarterback and the fact that he's making like $5 million a year and has not taken a snap, that is huge because your quarterback has been so healthy. And somebody pointed out this morning that, yeah, he did take a snap and he fumbled it. The one snap he did take, he fumbled it. And I'm just thinking to myself, people have it. Like, you forget how good you got it. You really, really do. And that's why with Julio Jones, you better thank your lucky stars that you have a receiver of that caliber that comes in and the worst thing that he does is go fishing and lose an earring. Talking about Antonio Brown out there in Pittsburgh. Shot up the joint. Not technically didn't shoot up the joint. I'm just saying. He got out of there. He made it so polarizing in the locker room that he got up out of there and he went out to the Oakland Raiders. And ain't no telling with all those guys out there what they're going to be. San Francisco, whether Los Angeles Raiders, whatever you want to call it. Oakland, Los Angeles, whatever you want to call them. San Diego, Vegas, whatever. And then you look at the flip side of Odell Beckham Jr., who talked about in this article living in every other city or enjoying to live in every other city than the one that he's actually playing in. Now, listen. I didn't live, for the most part, in the city that I played in. I lived here in Georgia. But at the same time, I had love for the city that I was in. And I know this is his first year in Cleveland, but I'm wondering how that's going to work out for the Cleveland Browns with Odell Beckham Jr. being there.
Yeah, I was just asking Oren, the technical director, and Abe, the producer, and I'll ask you. I was sitting here, I kind of scratched my head going, what was the last time we had any locker room controversy on any team in this town, on any major team in this town? And Abe got me here and went, I don't rocker? And I went, oh, okay.
Dude.
If it was, that was 20-some years ago.
And you know what? I'll tell you this. There are probably some people out there who would want to have that kind of controversy on their team, but not really. I mean, think about it, man. You have the most dynamic, most prolific receiver in the game, and the worst that he come up with is a new hairstyle, and you know, that's it, losing an earring. And for him to go out there and have the yeoman's approach that he does when it comes to playing the game of football. At a position, I might add, where divas are plenty. Deshaun Jackson. Who else was a diva, Abe? Because I know you do a lot of trivia. Who else would you call like a diva receiver at that position? Chris Carter was a diva receiver. Randy Moss was a diva, but T.O. was a diva too.
Yeah,
they were both kind of divas.
Mm-hmm.
Urban Fryer? Michael Irvin?
Urban
Fryer was a little bit of a diva. Mike Irvin was a little bit of a diva. But, dude, think about that for a minute, folks. This cat just go out there and he just catch footballs and go fishing. And every now and then rides a wet bike too fast. And, you know, that's about it. Think about that. I mean, just think about that for a minute. And count your blessings. And you got a good quarterback, too. That's all I got, John Fricky. I'm just reflecting a little bit on this Football Tuesday, a little bit on that. It was pretty cool.
No, I think, and by and large, you know, we in Atlanta, this is what I'll echo on that, is that Atlanta fans don't realize that they are somewhat spoiled, and because we live in our own little bubble here, we haven't been beset by a whole lot, because Oren said Dennis Schroeder and Dwight Howard. Okay, that's it?
That's it.
That's it?
You ain't had no gun charges from no players. You ain't had not anything egregious in a long time. Think about that. You just go out there, and the worst thing they screaming is brotherhood and playing from a teammate. That's it. And losing their rings. That's a pretty good group of folks. And all they screaming is brotherhood and playing for one another. That's a pretty good group of folks. Ain't nobody complaining about playing time. Ain't nobody complaining about getting the football. None of that. Just go out there and play.
Well, I hope that yesterday was a day that we can look back come, January and February and talk about how we had that, tremendous sense on day one of training camp that there was something brewing with the Atlanta Falcons, because there was a buzz among the fans, among the media, among the team. And I know everybody's a champion on day one. I get it. But at the same time, been around it a lot. You know, I've been around a lot of Falcons training camps, a lot of them, dating back to Swanee. And I've been around a lot of Falcons training camps that had, back to work kind of buzz to it. This was, our guys are back and we're ready to roll kind of buzz. Now, whether it happens or not, we'll see. Our coverage of the Atlanta Falcons training camp continues. Andy and Randy had a chance to talk to Mohamed Sanu, and we'll play that interview next on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.